Are you ready for the game coming up on Sunday? According to what Lima just looked at, you're not. Was there more fever over watching the quarterbacks than there will be for the game on Sunday?
Well, I do think you had some huge college football matchups for sure. So
yeah, but you understand what I'm asking, because I think there were plenty of people who are Browns fans who are not going to sit there and watch LSU, Clemson. And maybe they would. Maybe it was week one of the college football season. But I think a lot of them, maybe they're not watching it as closely, or maybe it's on in the background and they're doing whatever. I know there were a lot of fantasy football drafts and things like that. But man, it seemed everything that you know, Arch Manning's a different animal. And we'll get more into that coming up in a bit. But Carson Beck, Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenoris Sellers, Fernando Mendoza for that reason. Now I'm getting a bunch of tweets about Drew Aller and why did I leave him off the list. And I told you guys why I left him off the list. I think that's a hell of a lot of pressure. He's going to have to go out there and he's going to have to be very, very, very good against very big talent for me to think that he's going to be able to withstand the pressure of being the Browns quarterback when he's from here. It's a lot to put on a young man. And so you got to show me that you are willing to pay that fiddler and you're willing to stare that down and be able to go out and play well. That's why, like, the Cade Klubnik stuff, I only mentioned him as a name that people are mentioning. No, absolutely not. He is day two, day three Quinn Ewers territory, but that's a different conversation. But we're watching these quarterbacks. I think there was more fever over watching those QBs in college than there is over this game coming up against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, it's weird. It's definitely weird for a Browns home opener to see tickets available at face from the Browns, like, and them sending out emails, and you go to the website, browns.com, and it's that huge banner that's taken up like a fourth of the screen up top. Click to get your home opener ticket. I've never seen that. I've never seen that for a Browns home opener. So this is, I think people are on the same page that this season is a little bit different from most seasons. Now that doesn't mean that if they don't win the opener, that changes immediately. Obviously, if they come out and beat Joe Burrow again, like they've done five of the eight times they've gone up against him, then I think people will get fired up. But I do think people are like, you got to show me. You got to actually show me you guys are trying to win this year.
Well, because I think a lot of people, I think they're already moving on, and I don't know how many people actually want them to. I wonder how many people, like, for a multitude of reasons. I mean, anytime we throw it out there, you get guys who call in and they say they do not like the current brain trust of the Cleveland Browns. And they believe that losing is better for everybody. That if they go out and lose, they'll get rid of the brain trust. We get a better quarterback. It's a win-win for them. Now, I don't want to go that far because I hate looking for new head coaches and hate looking for new general managers because it's not fun. Quarterbacks are fun to talk about on the radio. They are a blast to talk about it when you're with your buddies. Doesn't matter if you're on the radio at a bar. You could be at a church. It's fun to talk about quarterbacks. Looking for coaches and general managers, that sucks. It's boring. You got to hit the phones. It's terrible. I hate it. But I think that there are plenty of people out there going, if they win, you'll get their attention. They'll get their emotions. But if they don't win, if they go out there and they do what they did against Dallas last year, I think a lot of people are going to go, all right, let's see what Dylan Gabriel has. Let's see what the other kid has. Let's see where we go from here. And I'm going to be watching Ohio State, and I'm going to be watching all the other teams that I'm paying attention to. I think a lot of people are like that this year.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be saying Dylan Gabriel first. I think they'll be saying Shador first.
Shador Sanders probably first. More on that coming up here in chat around 7:22, by the way.
But it is weird because we just played a promo, I think maybe a segment ago, from the afternoon show, talking about what this season's all about. And I think it's been very hard for a lot of Browns fans to kind of figure out what is it like off the top, what rolls off the tongue. This season is about this. And I think for most people, I mean, when you start a 40-year-old quarterback, and I know Pittsburgh's dealing with the same thing, but you know, their guy has the star power, at least he did. I mean, you're starting Joe Flacco, and Joe Flacco wasn't particularly good last year for a different team. So, yeah, we're hoping to recapture the magic of a stretch run from a couple of years ago where you went to the playoffs. But, you know, you're starting to see the turnover on the roster, that it kind of a two-year thing. Last year, you know, you're down a lot of the big names from the playoff runs that this team, this organization had. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting on to the next, but you still have your offensive linemen. You still have Myles Garrett. You still have Denzel Ward. You still have Njoku. You know, will Njoku be here next year? They drafted his replacement. Offensive line, they're in the process of transitioning. So can they still win games when you've kind of got two different timelines represented on this football team? Got a lot of young guys. Mm-hmm. Of course, two of them are quarterbacks who are not playing. One of them's a running back who we're hoping to find out some new details on and whether he's going to be available soon. But that's why I think a lot of fans may be at arm's length right now, this football team, until they prove otherwise.
I think you're right with a lot of people. Like, I'm not picking up the usual fever that we've experienced here, because, like, even when they had, even when, like, okay, Deshaun's healthy, and I know a lot of people didn't like him. When Deshaun was healthy, it's like, all right, maybe he's able to turn it up. Maybe this year he's able to get it going. After the year that he had the injury, you remember what had happened, where it's like, all right, maybe we can get this thing going in the right direction. He was very good in certain spurts during the beginning of the season last year before the injury. Maybe he'll be good the entire year this year. You know, there was that thought there. When Baker was here, you know, coming off of 2019, I think 2019, it was kind of like, well, what are you going to do? Plus, we were all distracted by everything else that was going on in the world, getting ready for 2020. That kind of took it away, and it was a fun experience for everybody, because I don't think people anticipated them going to the playoffs. I think they just wanted Baker to play a lot better than what he was. And then after that, yeah, there was that expectation, but this is the first time I can remember in a long time. This feels more 2016, 2017 to me, where it's like, hey, you know, they'll be there on Sunday. I think they'll be there on Sunday. I know that you've noticed some things over there on the internet where people might be putting tickets up for sale or staying home or whatever it might be. I think they'll be there on Sunday, and I think they'll whoop it up because it's tradition. But I think a lot of people are paying attention to 2026, and I don't begrudge those people. I don't begrudge them. Our own owner is going to these football games. Why is he going to these football games? Everybody knows why he's going to these games, and I don't begrudge him for doing that. So if our own owner's going there,
and he didn't exactly,
and everybody else is going to these games,
he didn't exactly hide it.
Yeah. So
it's all over.
And I think that's like, hey, if they can win, great. I don't think they're doing what 2016 and 17 dictated, where it's like, hey, let's go out here and do this. But when you have two first-round picks next year, I think it's apparent to everybody that they're trying to figure out who might be worth their pick if they have to pick number one or number two, or who might be really worth it where they might have to trade up and use both those first round picks on one of these guys. And I just think that's being pure and simple, honest with yourself and with your fan base about where this football team's going to be.
But you brought up the 2016, like around that time. The difference was those teams had no talent. This team has talent.
Mm-hmm.
They're holdovers, right? They're the veterans, but I mean, Myles Garrett, I saw NFL.com finally had their top 10 list, like they had been teasing
the
it every
NFL 100
week.
From the, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Myles Garrett was the top defensive player, again. Like,
what number was he overall, do we remember?
You know what? I got it right.
Probably the first after the quarterback, because ESPN, he was the first after the quarterback. So
yeah.
He was like he was the best non-quarterback player in the NFL. Yeah, they got talent.
They had him eighth.
Okay, they had him eighth.
He's so a weird list. Is it
probably
totally
some
weird
wide receivers ahead of him and
that's
stuff like that.
Saquon Barkley number one.
I could see that.
No, I don't. I can't see it.
I think
we can do that.
Isn't
later.
That the other one? Wait a minute. Isn't that the other players?
Well, he has
who does the top 100? Isn't that from players? They have a lot of respect for guys who aren't quarterbacks. Yeah. When you get all the players involved, like quarterbacks, you have to be pretty undeniable. And for them to win the Super Bowl, that's the only. I don't mean to bog it down.
No,
with you
no, that's fine.
But that's the only reason I see it from it. And I can understand where it's like, hey, in the real world, you take the quarterback over everybody else. I totally agree with you on that. But for this team, no, I don't think it's the same as it was in 2016-17 as far as them as an organization. It can't be. The only way it could have been is if you would have traded Myles Garrett and gotten two firsts or anything like that. It's not that same way. But I think a lot of folks are going into it going, hey, you know what? You're going to have to show me on Sunday. I think you're going to have to show me on Sunday. You got two rookie QBs back there. You know people want to see either one of them, one in particular. You got a bunch of draft picks for next year. I believe you have 10. We know why you have those, especially two of those in particular. So you're going to have to go out there and show me on Sunday against Cincinnati, because we all got worked up about last year. We all got excited for last year, and they went out there and they laid a colossal egg in week one, and then it never really got any better because the team they beat in week two sucked too in Jacksonville. And they ended up a 3-win team. And remember, at the end of the year, you know, 3-14, and we all like to say, well, were they as bad as 3-14? Because they weren't really trying to win. Okay, well, you're telling me you're not really trying to win there. So now where am I giving my emotions to? And it's not that people aren't Browns fans anymore. They're Browns fans. But But notice what they're doing. They're preparing for the future. They're watching college football on Saturday. They took in all these games. You had, I guarantee you had guys at fantasy drafts, hardcore Browns fans, arguing over the type of game that maybe Arch Manning had or maybe Julian Sain had, but really giving these arguments about what they saw on Saturday night with LSU and with Clemson and with Penn State and with everybody. They're watching these games for specific reasons. They are preparing. The fans are preparing for 2026. You got to give them a reason to be emotionally involved in 2025, and the only way you can do that is by winning football games and winning on Sunday. Against Cincinnati.
Up to them.
216-474-0092. Is that your feeling right now with the Browns? Are you wait and see when it comes to the Browns about this year? Are you already preparing for 2026? Because looks like the owner is, feels like the front office already is, and we're getting ready for a football game coming up on Sunday.